Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino. On this episode, we talk with leading brand expert Eric Carball. He is always adding value to existing brands and businesses. Fortune 105,000 companies have trusted him to identify their core brand messages and deliver them effectively. He has recently worked with powerhouse brands such as Shark Tank's Matt Higgins, VaynerMedia, David Meltzer, The Miracle Morning's Hal Elrod, iHeartRadio, Facebook's Randy Zuckerberg, and The Sasha Group. He's creating content, producing podcasts, and helping to build community. He is a highly sought-after keynote storyteller, podcast guest, and host. We get into all of this and so much more. Enjoy.
It's good to meet you, man. Thank you for taking a minute out today.
Yeah, and for sure.
Before we get into your work and your life, I want to know, we're coming up on the four-year anniversary of the pandemic. How did you survive it, and how did it change you?
Oh, man. That could be a controversial question, Joe. But I guess we're in the show, right?
So I am willing to risk it.
yeah, for sure. I'm with you. I'd say we survived in a nutshell. We actually flourished during that time because we were doing live events in our business. And then we quickly shifted to virtual events before everyone and anyone did. I'd say within 6 weeks of you know, like day one, we were able to solve the problem. And don't get me wrong, I was depressed. I was sad. I was in my basement watching Netflix and eating Doritos and enjoying, like, I don't know what's going to happen. But then we came out of it as a group and figured out, no, we need to execute on something that we had planned, a live event, and let's make it virtual and let's figure it out. So much to the point, Joe, that we did such a bang up job that it started getting attention from people like VaynerMedia and Gary. And they started, I don't know if your community is familiar, but Gary Vaynerchuk is massive in the thought leadership space. Yeah. And he owns a company called VaynerMedia, and then probably six or seven all with the Vayner name in it. But at the time, he was growing a company called the Sasha Group, which is a small to mid-size version of VaynerMedia. And they came into our community. They spoke, they were one of our keynote speakers on the virtual stage. And we were able to help cross promote, you know, what they were doing and building the community, and then like bring some of our community over to their community. And then they started to take meetings with me and ask for advice. That was so surreal, where I'm sitting in a call with the VPs, with the chief marketing officers, whoever it was. And they're asking me, like, how are you doing this? How do we do virtual events? So then that kind of gave us some street cred, and we were able to build a business out of that. That was the positive that came out of it for sure.
So Eric, I know you're a branding expert, but I'm going to get you boiled this down to its brass tacks. I'm going to put you in front of a bunch of third graders. It's career day. And one of the kids looks up and says, "Hey, what do you do for a living?" How would you answer that child?
I love that. I help people gain clarity in who they are so they could share it with the world.
What did you want to be in the third grade?
Man, I wanted to work for Marvel Comics. I wanted to draw comic books, yeah, for a living. I couldn't even begin to imagine, like, is that people make money doing that? The stuff that I love, enjoy every single day. Yeah, that's what got me into art.
Creative. I was a big comic books fan when I was a kid. And I remember the one comic book that really touched me was when my best friend growing up, his name was Matt. He always had an IV that he would have to hook up to. He was a regular kid. We'd go out and play, come in. He had liver abscess issues. But I remember this Spider-Man comic about a kid that had leukemia. And it was a really gripping thing. And at the very end, you know, he went through this whole battle, you know, and Spider-Man was there to help him out. And I remember how just gripping that was, but I loved it. And I think about it, and Marvel was the king at the time. You know, you had Stan Lee and all the characters. DC was kind of on the back end until the movies came out. It's weird how comics have become the thing. And I would have never thought when I was a kid that comic books would save Hollywood.
Or much to the detriment of many people in Hollywood who hated that whole,
true,
which I think is kind of fizzling out now. But yeah, I'm with you. Whether it saved it or not, it definitely created a genre worth paying attention to. Talk about brand. Like, that's my thing. I always use that as a great example of, like, you know, the underdog. which was Marvel, who was bankrupt because nobody was buying enough comics or whatever it was. And then they sold all the rights to their biggest properties like X-Men and Spider-Man, you know, which Sony still owns, by the way, to make, you know, they have the rights to use the to make movies. But yeah, talk about being able to come out of something, like you said, you know, 2020 to now, Marvel, man, they skyrocketed out of the trenches while they were down.
Absolutely. So other than Marvel or comics, what's one of the brands that's out there that you're impressed with, whether it was a meteoric rise or intuitive rise? What's your favorite?
Yeah, I look up to what Elon's doing. I don't know if many people know this, but Tesla has not put a dollar into marketing. It's all word of mouth. It's all grassroots. Like, and everyone in my neighborhood has a Tesla now. So that's pretty amazing that you're able to build a juggernaut of a brand and based on product and culture, technology. He's really just tapped into something that I think, I say he's a genius of our time. Like when he dies, people are going to reflect 30 years from now, you know, like we do, the guy who, what's his name? My brain is on pause. The guy who created the, John Hughes, or, you know, inventors of the times that we talk about, we revere now. There's going to be, that's Elon. He's going to be, we're witnessing it live. The guy is alive right now.
Right.
So it's like people are throwing tomatoes at him, but he's the only one innovating. He's got companies that are sending rockets into space, creating electric cars, you know, digging tunnels from cities to cities. I mean, this guy people can't even accomplish what he's doing in his lifetime in multiple lifetimes, generations. Yeah. One man is doing all this.
Yeah,
like, let's celebrate that. This guy's a living legend that we're witnessing unfold. It's pretty wild.
I think we're too close to it, just like you said. I think we're way too close to what's going on right now, because it is like John Hughes films. Like, we had no idea that this whole industry of genius just outside of Chicago was going to become the enterprise, you know, and it did.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right? Yeah, you're right. It's just we're too in it. But then when we reflect on it, we're going to be the old guys talking to our great grandkids going, I remember when Elon, blah, blah, blah.
You knew
Elon Musk? Like, I didn't know personally, but I watched him, you know, be an a-hole, or I watched him do some, you know, say crazy things. Yeah, and he has that genius quality to him, right? Like, he's off the chain. You don't know what he's going to say or do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So what we can do later on in 20 or 30 years is refer to this podcast and say, see, we were actually talking about this guy. This actually happened. So how did this happen? Take me back to where you were born and raised. How did the seeds of branding and helping people find their identity, how did this happen for you?
Yeah, great question. So it was really, and I don't want to take you too much through my history, but, you know, I'll tie it all into comic books, really. I don't think I've ever done that before, but I became aware at some point of the hero's arc. And, you know, there's a certain story beats, you know, when you watch a lot of television, a lot of movies, like I did, I was a latchkey kid. My both of my parents worked. So I'm walking home by myself, you know, through the hood, in the Bronx and Yonkers, where, I would just watch TV. That's all I do. And over time, what you begin to notice, especially I was an avid reader, especially of sci-fi, that there's a very specific pattern to these stories, right? Let's take Peter Parker, for example. You know, he's the nerdy kid. He can't get the girl. He's struggling. He's getting bullied by Flash Thompson. But at some point he gains superpowers, but we see his home life, right? The struggles, right? With Aunt May, his Uncle Ben. And then all of a sudden, you know, he has a death in the family, tragedy, right? So right now we're setting up the hero, with the challenge, the challenges he's having in life, at school, or and at home. And then that's very relatable, right? So they were able to create a character unlike Batman, who is a multimillionaire, Superman, who is this bulletproof alien. Peter Parker was us, right? So then we start to set up the hero's next journey, which is he gets these superpowers beyond belief, right? You crawl on walls and swing from building to building. Wow, that's amazing, right? Now we start to see him winning, but with great power comes great responsibility. There is a curse to the power that he has to become aware of because he did it for money. He was doing it for money, and he. I don't know if people know people. The story seems like it's very common now. People understand it, but he let an opportunity go, or he was taking too many opportunities, which was the cause of his Uncle Ben dying because he was in it for the money, and then he chose a life of service, and he chose a life of being a hero and sacrificing all the things that he wanted, like marriage, having kids, all the things. So like that, and then so we have this arc, right, where it's the beginning, the highs, and then back the lows, and the lesson that was learned. So when I started to apply that to business, and when I started to apply that to my story, I started to realize, oh, I just did that to my story. It's built my personal brand over the years, and then now I can apply that framework to clients, right? Whether it's through their podcast or their personal brand, it's pretty wild, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. So let me ask you this. Who's been kind of a hero or inspiration for you in your life professionally?
I would say Gary Vee was definitely one of those ones when I first left corporate America, because I was in corporate for over 20 years. So I was stuck in the machine. And then I took the red pill and I got out. And I started to realize he was one of the very first that I started to recognize. He was starting his journey and I was watching and deconstructing what he was doing. This is probably 2016, 2017, Jab, 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 Right Hook was like the first book that I read, and then Crushing It. But then I start to recognize, oh, he's telling his story like Peter Parker, where here he was, a kid from Belarus, immigrant family, came to the States, started selling baseball cards, hustling on the streets, grabbing flowers off people's lawns and selling it back to them. They don't even realize. I was like, wow, this is my life. I did this too. And I just started to kind of model and took his advice to say, document your journey. So I just started hitting record on my life and putting it out there without a real crystallized plan, but it was enough to get people to recognize, like, oh, we need Eric for XYZ, you know, podcasting or branding or whatever it is. So yeah, it's he's one of the early ones for sure.
So in the realm of podcasting, what was the first podcast that you got addicted to? One that just blew you away?
Oh man, I wouldn't say for entertainment value. It was for info. It was for information. I'd say a little bit of education and definitely a lot of education, but a little bit of entertainment. So it was like what do they call it? Infotainment.
Yeah.
So when I left corporate, I needed to replace my income, my six-figure income from corporate relatively quickly. So I was like, what do I do next? It was real estate investing. I was like, oh, Trump's doing it. The rich people do it. This must be the avenue to replace my salary. So it was a podcast called Bigger Pockets. That was a forum. That was a community of people that are all just trying to help each other figure things out. So that was the first time. To go back before that, when podcasting was just entertainment to me, there was one called The Nerdist Podcast by Chris Hardwick. And Chris Hardwick, people know him from The Walking Dead. He's always like MC. He's a great MC and host. I used to listen to him just for entertainment. But for information, I never thought podcasts was for that. You know, I could get an MBA from listening to a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. The amount of information that's out there is crazy. So not a surprise. So let me ask you this. If you can meet one person alive on the planet right now that you find fascinating, and you may have already answered this, who would that person be? Who would you love to meet and talk to?
It would probably, I used to say Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've shifted that to Musk for sure. Yeah. Like I'm fascinated by that guy, especially when he's on Rogan's podcast. So I'll listen to that all day, three hours, 4 hours, eight. I'll listen to the whole thing. Watch them eat pizza or smoke weed, whatever it is. It's fascinating. Yeah,
it is. And they have a good chemistry. You know what's wild about that interview with him? I talk to a lot of people that are really proponents of AI. Like they believe in it. The only person that's ever had fear is him.
Yeah.
If he's afraid, then we should be aware.
For sure, dude. AI scares me too. I love it, hate it. Because I've watched and read too much sci-fi. So we all know where it could go, like the worst case scenario.
Yep. It's like 2001 Space Odyssey. But the problem is that whenever human beings get involved with it, that's it. There's always that there's always that chance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we're flawed, bro. Like it's, yeah. You know, it's that trope where, you know, you rub the genie's, the bottle, and what do we typically do? We ask for more wishes. That's a no-no.
Yeah.
So it's like, we let the genie out of the bottle. We're asking for more wishes. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, that's it. So let me ask you this. You're obviously highly motivated. You've been highly motivated your whole life. What is that motivation right now in 2024 that gets you out of bed, that not only makes you make the client happy, but to evolve as a human yourself?
I'll say it in its simplest form, and then I'll provide context. But honestly, it's my faith, my faith in God, my coming back to Jesus moment, has really changed my life, because my purpose when I left corporate, was really to replace my salary, make more money. And then eventually it was, you know, Simon Sinek came into my life. It's like, hey, you got to find your why. So my why and my purpose became my family. So it's like, I'm going to make money so that I can provide, put food on the table, and create a happy life for my little girls. That was the purpose. But it's become greater than that, Joe. It's becoming bigger than that, because now that is in a place where I feel confident. I feel comfortable. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? So I was meditating. I was a Tony M. I still... Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, all the guys, Earl Nightingale, all the guys. What I started to recognize was everything they say is based off one thing, and that is scripture. It's the highest selling book of all time, right? And I'm like, wow, they're all just regurgitating what Jesus Christ was saying, those things. So I was like, let me just go back to the source. And as I started to unfold and read, that's when I started to develop a connection, a relationship with God, and a bigger purpose than myself, and getting up every morning knowing this isn't necessarily about me or my clients, but it's the collective. So like it's and the mission that Jesus and God are always throughout the whole, you know, from Old Testament to the New, you know, it's always said that to me, the thread that goes throughout all of it is love. It's plain and simple. It's love. And I'm like, that's my mission, is just to continue spreading it, to continue giving it, to continue receiving it. That's my mission, brother. It's very powerful. And thank you for asking.
You know, what's interesting too about that is that all of the major religions that humans are a part of all have that same streamline. It's about, you know, the unconditional, non-judging love that we can do with the deity and, you know, the sun and all. It's amazing how all of them are so similar, and we're all going towards the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever you hear any other, and I have high respect for any and all religions, I have no judgment here. You know, we live in New Jersey, and we are about 10 minutes or less to the largest Hindu temple in the world. Wow. Shockingly, right? And I went there and I was in awe, you know, and just had that feeling that I would have going to my church.
Yeah.
So it's pretty wild. Like, and it's all the same thing. All their prophets, you know, everyone's revered and respected, and it's all the same vibe as what Jesus in Christianity. But yeah, I have a curiosity for all for all religions, and to see, and like you said, there's one commonality, and that's love, and it's pretty powerful. It really moves mountains
for sure. So your clients, you have to dispense good ideas and advice on them. What's the best advice you've ever gotten?
Oh man. Oh, so good. I'm trying to go through the catalog, right? For all for all of us Gen X boomers. It's
the
like
Rolodex.
I'm like,
yes.
Yeah. I was interviewed on a podcast the other day and I mentioned Rolodex, and he had to stop to explain. He's like, hold on, dude. My audience are a bunch of Gen Zs and millennials. So this one's a little bit, this is very business oriented. But one of the best advice I got is this guy, James Altucher. And I had him on my show. We became somewhat of friends during that time. And then COVID hit and he went bananas and had a whole controversial argument publicly with Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
It was pretty wild to watch all of that unfold. But he said to me on my podcast, he said, Eric, are you looking to build your business to, you know, like to create legacy, or are you looking to sell it? And he has sold many, many businesses. And I said, I would like to sell it. I want a capital event. I want a liquidity event is what we call it. And he's like, well, in order to do that, he's like, you need to start working with the people that will potentially acquire you. I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, look to the people that you partner with or are your clients. And then you have a conversation, say, hey, you know, we've been working together for many years. You know, would it make sense for us to kind of like do a little bit more work together? And then just eventually open the door in that conversation to, oh, why don't you guys just consider maybe acquiring us? And then we just become one. So I've been doing that, and I've already dropped the seed here, is that VaynerMedia, we've been working with for a better part of 5 years now. Yeah. So, and I'm positioned there as one of their thought leaders in the podcasting space. So just like Gary is manifesting and putting out there and casting the vision to acquire the Jets, the conversation with he and I, you know, for him to acquire On Air Brands at some point, is in my head. So that's some advice that I was given back in the day. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to put that into motion.
That makes sense. So of all of the things that you've done, whether it's an actual event or an idea that you pitched, what are you the proudest of?
Oof. Oh man, you ask tough questions.
Got to wake you up. We're getting woken up here.
Yeah. Honestly, it's doing what my mother did. She had no idea she was doing this show, but she was such a hard worker that she would burn the midnight oil. You know, there's probably some issues there. Maybe she didn't want to come home to my dad. Who knows? But she, that instilled a work ethic in me to grind and to work hard and be passionate about what I do. Cause I saw it in her. She wasn't saying the words. She was just displaying that in her actions. So when I left corporate, and during corporate, my oldest, her first 2 years of life, I was not a happy person. You know, I was working for someone else, making a lot of money, but making someone else a lot more money. And I was becoming very resentful. And I was just tired of the grind and asking to be to work on the weekends when there was real no benefit to me. I wanted to be home, my family, recharge. And then when I finally took ownership, I realized, oh, I can do what my mother did and start working to the degree for myself and my own business, and display and lead by example to my children so that they can have that instilled in them for their life. So that's what I would say right now. I'm so proud that they're always pointing out, like, Daddy, you work a lot, but we love what you're doing. They think I'm famous. I'm like, I'm not famous. They're like, so it's funny because they'll walk in here now and they'll go, who is that guy you were talking to, Joe? So they get excited. It yep. looks like, you know, like television to them. Yep. So yeah, I'm really proud of what I can display, what I can do for a future generation and legacy in my family.
So let me throw out a fun question here. We get off the Zoom call, time machine pulls up in front of your house. You can go back in time and see one event in human history with your own eyes. You can witness it. What do you want to see happen?
Yeah. I think I already kind of made the audience aware here for you as well. It would be the birth of Jesus for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that? Whenever people bring up Jesus, I've only had one person say that they would like to go up and talk to him. It's always either witnessing the birth or the...
I'm not the first to say it.
But that's the thing. I think there's this idea, because it's Jesus, it's like, wow. But it was like, this dude was like, I just want to have a conversation. I just want to get to the heart of it. And how interesting would that be? You know,
I want to have him on my podcast.
That's what I'm saying. I'd really like to say, hey, what's up? How you doing? What? How much wine did you make that day? You know, really get into it.
Yeah, and what if it, dude? They were thirsty. What about the water, man? Right. What if somebody didn't want to drink? They needed water.
Exactly. There's conspiracy theorists that think that there was wood under the water. So what's going on? No, it was water. I was walking.
Yeah, that
on.
Dude. I never thought of that. That would be such an amazing. I'm sure you could probably create AI. How blasphemy, right? Like. You know, they've done AI to the degree where there's conversations happening, and it would be two people that would never talk.
Yeah,
and it sounds real. Like,
no,
yeah, why not? Have, yeah, why not? Have
it's wild
on your podcast.
And they've done that with Rogan. And he's like, that yes. that didn't happen, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty wild. I forgot who he was. Maybe it was Trump he was interviewing something. But yeah, yeah, it's amazing. I would be shocked if someone hasn't already done it.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to look it up.
Yeah, right. I know. To see what's going to happen. So at the end of the day, everyone has a perception of you. You have all these pockets of people, family, friends, clients, colleagues. But you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
The perception of me, I would hope, is someone who's genuine, someone that really truly cares about you, someone that would go out of his way to accomplish something that he promised to you, someone that you can rely on, but then at the same time know that I'm flawed, and say, yeah, I would hope that anyone that I encounter or that I bring into my world has a high level of empathy like I do. And I always see the bigger picture and I always put things into context. So that's really where I think people kind of get angry about things. They have an expectation and it can't be matched, or an expectation that they shouldn't have even have had. So I try to be someone that reduces expectations or have no expectations. Therefore, I'm never disappointed, bro. Never disappointed. But at the same time, I want to be able to just continue on the mission without hurting people along the way. But I don't have control, right? Over here's the thing, and I'll sum it up. I really pride myself when people say you have such a high level of self-awareness. And it's always a work in progress. I'll never be fully enlightened to that point that I would hope. But yeah, just always being aware of all things and having empathy for others, compassion for others and what they're going through.
One of my best friends of all time, probably 6 months ago, said he used to get a lot of anxiety going up to his in-law's house. And he finally got to a point where someone said, just erase expectations. Have no expectations. And I've thought about that over and over again. Anything you go into, because we kind of built up these worlds in our brain. But if you can go in and it's like, nothing. And then it's just like you see like the Sim Village just growing around you, you know?
I love that. It's funny because if you encounter anyone in your life that's disappointed or gets angry towards you, I get this a lot because, you know, my community has grown. I'm blessed to have that opportunity. But family, friends, people, why haven't you called me? Or why did you respond this way? Or what? I'm like, if you had no expectations, you wouldn't be so angry. You wouldn't be so mad at me. Why do you have all these high? Where are you putting me in your world? I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's totally true. So let me ask you this. If anyone wants to reach out, hire you, learn more about you, get on, figure out about the podcast, take a listen, everything, the good business, where do they go?
So I have something for your listeners, anyone who's ever thinking about starting a podcast or has one, or you guest on shows like this, and I'm happy to jam with you. I love this conversation. Welcome to come on my show, Entrepreneur Circle. So look out for Joe on that episode. But my website, ericcabral.co/guide, is your opportunity to download a PDF there. That's the best practices in being a podcast host and a guest, all the stuff, all the knowledge that I've compressed into two pages there for you to download. So ericcabral.co/guide. And my name's spelled with a K, so E-R-I-K.
Right on. Eric, this has been wonderful, man. Thank you so much. And I would love to continue this conversation. So let's do it. We'll get into it.
Yeah, appreciate you, brother.
Thanks for tuning in to another famous interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, business, spirituality, music, and more from around the globe. Our esteemed theme music was composed and produced by the great E.E. Pointer of Kansas City's River Cow Orchestra. If you want to hear more interviews, visit the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino channel on YouTube. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.